So, welcome to this class on how to use Calvary Curriculum's children's curriculum to teach elementary age children inside a children's ministry classroom. I was one who was blessed to grow up attending Sunday school as a child. I was privileged to grow up around children's ministries in general, as my father was a pastor of children's ministry since before I was born. My oldest brother also became a children's ministry pastor, and my mom has taught Sunday school for almost 30 years. So I was able to grow up in that, and I'm very happy that I was able to. I began, quote, helping my mom when I was 8. That's why I say quote. And then I started teaching when I was 12. And I'm very grateful for the opportunities that the Lord has given to me from those young ages to be involved with children and in teaching them. And through the years of teaching and helping inside of a children's ministry classroom, I have all along used this particular curriculum that we'll be looking at, and it has been so helpful to me as a support, as my role as a helper or a teacher, and it was helpful to me. And we've received a lot of feedback from people in person or via email that gave a response of how it has been helpful to them. And sometimes these people are curious about like how the curriculum got started, what's the history of it. So I'll start this class by just briefly explaining a little bit of the history. In the 1990s, the pastor who oversaw the children's ministry at Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa went to Pastor Chuck and explained to him a vision he had for a new children's Bible curriculum. He wanted a curriculum that would uniquely support the vision they had for their children's ministry. And Pastor Chuck was very excited about the idea and was enthusiastic in his encouragement to this pastor to write this curriculum. So the children's curriculum in its original form was written then, and it can, since that time, the Lord has chosen to use it in more than that one church fellowship, and it can be found on the website calvarycurriculum.com, along with other curriculum and resources that have been developed in alignment with the vision for the original curriculum. That children's ministry pastor, my dad, Larry, would not have guessed that God would use this curriculum among many fellowships across the U.S., in many homeschools, and in churches in many different countries, as well as I know of one school in a country. I don't know that I can name the country, but it's exciting to see it. And on the website, calvarycurriculum.com, you'll find 5 different children's curriculums. The Little Ones curriculum in its original form, the Revised Little Ones curriculum, the Children's curriculum in its original form, the Revised Children's curriculum, which is what I'll be teaching about here, and then topical curriculum. In your notes, you have a brief description of each if you're interested in looking at the different ones. You can look over that and read that. But most of what I say here will be applicable to the original children's curriculum, and that's because the revised children's curriculum is a revision of that original children's curriculum. So it has retained those features that were created because of the vision that they had then. So much of what I say will apply to the original. So what was the vision behind the original curriculum? The vision in the 1990s that they had then is the same that we have today. What was wanted then and what we want today is this: for the children to come to know Jesus and learn how to walk with him. That's what we want. We want the children to be taught the Word of God in a simple way so they can understand it with a simple application. It's important for the teacher to communicate to the children in words that the children know and understand. We want to teach the children how to use a Bible to help them become comfortable and familiar with reading a Bible themselves. And if we can teach the children some basic questions that they can use when reading the Bible to look closely at a passage, we've given them a tool that can be helpful to them. We want to teach the children in a way that encourages the children to understand God's Word and then to respond to God with their lives and hearts, so that prayerfully they wouldn't just be hearers only, but they would be doers of God's Word. The curriculum was designed with the goal to make it as easy as possible for the teachers to be able to do these things. This workshop class is meant to give a bird's eye view of the curriculum, and if you'd like further information and more specific instruction on ways to teach children, there are several recordings on calvarycurriculum.com that are there to help in those ways. Now, there's been some confusion about which curriculum and website I discuss in this workshop. The curriculum that I discuss in this workshop is the revised children's curriculum from Calvary Curriculum, and the website that I refer to in this class is calvarycurriculum.com. The original version of the curriculum can also be found on another website. That's a different website from the one I'll be referring to in this workshop. There's also a version of the curriculum that takes a different approach from the original vision for the curriculum, which incorporates more instruction to the teacher. It more tells the teacher what to say. And that has been a blessing to those who are looking for something more along those lines. But we've not had involvement with that particular variation of the curriculum, and it won't be the one that I'll be referring to here. So each Bible study in the curriculum contains a coloring picture, an activity page, which is a word search and sometimes a maze, and a Bible study worksheet page. And in your handouts, you have a page that looks like this. So if you have a magnifying glass, you can see what that is about. And then I have an example here that, though I'm further, it might be helpful. So you have your cover page on, and then copyright information. You have your coloring picture, which will discuss the purpose of why, such as why the detail. Then you have a worksheet page, one geared for a younger elementary ages. And then you have another worksheet page geared for upper elementary ages, and I'll explain a couple of the differences. And then you have an activity page, So what you have is the one you need a magnifying glass for. But this is the full version. So the activity page for younger elementary, and then one for older. This one, even though it's full size, sometimes you feel like you still need a magnifying glass because my brother likes to challenge the kids with that when he designs these. So, and some of them love it. So that's what comes in a one study. So the purpose of a coloring picture, I think these are the handouts that have a coloring picture, and I think they're different coloring pictures, so you've gotten different ones from each other. The purpose. A picture is worth 1,000 words, and so it was created with that concept in mind. The goal was to create a coloring picture that began the process of communicating the story even before the Bible study time. So it was designed with the culture and the setting of the story in mind, so it helps to give the children an idea of the setting even before they start the Bible study. The teacher can sometimes use the coloring picture as a visual aid as they're trying to explain something because of the detail and how they've been created. Sometimes they can go, oh, like in the coloring picture, like this, because we're trying to keep the culture in mind for the setting of Israel in the time of Jesus. Also, having something for the children to color helps to create order inside the classroom, and that's important. In these pages, in the revised curriculum, the face of Jesus is never shown. You can see here. So the artist tries to be creative to stay with that, and there are a few reasons we wanted that, because it was intentional. We didn't want to add to the confusion that could be in the children's minds over conflicting images of what a picture Jesus looks like, because we don't know what he looks like, and so artists will have different ideas and represent him differently. And while emotion can at times be seen in the body language of the pictured Jesus, it was wished that no attempt be made to try to put into the face, which is very expressive, the attributes of Jesus through facial expressions. The design of the curriculum is that the words of Jesus communicate who Jesus is in all of his attributes rather than his facial expressions. Also in the coloring pictures, there's consistency from coloring picture to coloring picture in how key figures such as the apostles look, which just creates continuity and consistency. So why the great detail in the coloring pictures? It's because of the goal of Calvary curriculum to create a picture that started the process of communicating the story before the Bible study time, because a picture is worth 1,000 words. So that was the goal, but there's been some concern of, you know, more details. It's harder to color from the lines then. And so while learning new neat habits and learning to control the fine motor skills of the fingers, it's part of the education process, but the decision was made to go with the greater detail for more complete communication of the story to stay with the vision for the curriculum. So the word search purpose, is there one beside enjoyment? Yeah, there is, and that is to be a pre-Bible study. Because children can have a different vocabulary level than an adult, and because sometimes the Bible uses vocabulary we're not used to using in everyday life, well, the word search takes keywords that will be in the Bible study so that the children can find them, and then the teacher can use that as an opportunity to then explain what these words mean, or the helper can do that. And sometimes that's a great, thank you, that's a great job for the helper to have. The teacher can sometimes give that job to the helper, like, okay, find these words during the week, look up the meanings of the words, and help the kids in finding it. It can also be a discipling tool for the helper. But that's the job of the teacher, whether it's the helper or the teacher, is to find the words through the week, try to think through ways to explain the words to the children. You can look up in a dictionary, you can look in a synonym finder. Those are great, because sometimes you can come up with simpler words. You can try to think of examples. My 17-year-old helper came up with an example when I was teaching on knowing the flood, and the word was receded or abated or something like that, and I'm like trying to think of how to explain that to the kids. And my helper said, you know, it's like when you fill the sink up with water and it's plugged, and then you unplug and the water goes down. And I'm like, good job, Josh, that was a good one. So just coming up with examples from the children's life experiences can be very helpful. And so then the word search page helps to create order at the beginning of class. That's important because the parents will judge a class based on what they see when they drop the kids off and when they pick them up. That's what they see, and so they'll judge it based on that. And it helps the teacher to have communication with the children, which is very important. It's not the only way, but it just helps in that process. So there are a few ways to interact with the children while looking for words. If you have a whiteboard, you can draw on the whiteboard a square or some other shape representing the outside parameter of the word search, because sometimes it's a circle or some other shape. And then you can draw lines inside of that box representing the general area of where they can find the words in the word search. So the children can be a part of that process. They're finding words, and they're like, oh, I found one. Oh, you did, show it to me. And then you go and put it on the whiteboard so the children feel involved, like, oh, I'm helping, you know, I found it, now it goes on the whiteboard. You can also have all the lines drawn before any of the kids come in. You can write the beginning letter at the end of the line where it starts, and that gives a clue to the kids, up, down, sideways, you know, it just gives them some ideas. So for the word search page, as I briefly mentioned earlier, there's two different ages. One is geared for like younger elementary, the other for upper elementary. And so that is for, you know, the difficulty level. So these are great to have in a multi-age classroom because you can have both. So the kids can choose between the easier or the harder one. And it's also great having a coloring page and a word search in the classroom because when you have children in your classroom that can choose which one they want to do, the ones that can't read, well, they can color. And the ones that don't like to color, they can do the word search. So no one needs to feel embarrassed or left out. So So now looking at the purpose of the Bible study worksheet page. And you have a full-size one of these, because if time permitting, we will be going over this a little bit later, demonstrating how it might be used in a classroom. So there are two main purposes of the Bible study worksheet page. One is to get the children familiar with reading the Bible. Because the worksheet page has been designed to, the only way to get the answers is to get into the Bible. So the children are encouraged to read the Bible and start learning how to navigate the Bible as the teacher is teaching them that. And throughout the year, you know, a little bit each week, but also as the teacher says, okay, let's turn to this spot in the Bible, the teacher and the helper can go around and give individual help to the children that need a little extra help in finding the book or the chapter or the verse. And so it can take time. It's a process to teach them this. So the worksheet page is designed to assist the teacher in that process. So you have the scripture verse reference under each verse on the worksheet page, but also alongside you have them numbered. So in the process of teaching the children to navigate the Bible and how to find a verse, the teacher can also say, do you have this one? You do. Okay, perfect. Thank you. The teacher can also say, oh, we're at number 4. Can you go to number 4 on your worksheet page? You have to be a little careful because they get verse 4 and number 4 confused. Like, which number are you talking about? But you just explain that to them. And so it helps them. They can stay on track. This story that I have, Jesus turns water into wine, is 12 verses, and most of the verses are on here. Verse 12 is not on here, verse 8 is not, and verse 4 is not, part of verse 10 is not. Most of the story is. So, part of the reason some verses are left out, you know, can't fit all of them always on the page, but there's a reason too, is it's one more reason they have to go to the Bible, because it's not all included. And then you can use that to springboard into the reality of, or just teaching them that we have to go to God's word for truth. You know, the true or false, you can use that to explain, we go to God's word for truth. Where do we find truth? And you can use that just to springboard into that discussion. And then, oh, this doesn't have all the verses. Well, where do we go for the complete truth? We go to the Bible. And so just reinforcing that, and as you go over and over, even each week, bringing that up to them, that's going to go in, and the Holy Spirit can bring that back to their remembrances maybe 10 years later as they're struggling and they're asking, is there truth? Then the Lord can bring that to their minds and go to my word, go to the Bible. And so you never know how the Lord might use that. But that's part of the concept behind the worksheet page. But to get them into the Bible, that's what we're wanting. It's really not about curriculum. It's about getting them into God's word. So if we can use the curriculum to support in that, to support the teacher in the teacher's role, then let's do that. Let's take advantage of it. But that's the goal. Get them into the Bible. Get them studying. Get them understanding. The worksheet page takes a smaller section of scripture, puts it into a larger font size for younger eyes, puts it on one page. That can be helpful for kids to not get as lost. Yeah, as opposed to, as they're learning to read from the Bible and navigate, there's a lot of words. It's a very small font size sometimes. So it just kind of, it's just one more thing to help in the process. Difference between the older age and the younger age worksheet page is the older age has fill in the blanks. The younger aged page had circle the correct word, and that's just to make it easier for the little ones. So this page is very helpful for connecting the parents to their child's class, because parents, I think it's in this workshop, not the last one, yeah, it's this one, parents will judge the class based off of when they send the kids in and out, That's what they see. And so this page, the child has possibly handed to the parent to hold for them. And so when the parent says, "What did you learn today?" and maybe the child says, "I don't know," the parent can look at the page and then maybe ask questions about what they learned. And they know what their child did learn in class. So the worksheet page was not designed. The vision wasn't for it to just be handed to children to do on their own in class by themselves. And it wasn't, the vision wasn't really for it to be sent home with a child to be filled out there. So it's important for me to take a second and explain what's not included in the curriculum, because it sounds funny, but what's not included is actually important because that's part of the vision. It's a huge part of the vision behind the curriculum. What's not included in this curriculum is direction for what the teacher is supposed to say to the children in the Bible study. But how will the teacher know what to say? Well, during the week, he or she will take the passage of scripture that will be taught that week and study it. And I'll be giving a few ideas for how you as a teacher might study during your preparation time later on in this workshop. When a curriculum directs the teacher in what to say to the children in the Bible study, it can be a challenge for the teacher because the teacher might have to spend a good amount of time looking through the material to first understand it, to decide what he wants to do in the class, what his conscience will allow in light of his understanding of the Bible. So sometimes that happens. So having a curriculum to simply support the teacher and to support the teacher as he teaches the Bible study can free up that teacher's time throughout the week. He can, or she can now put all of their effort and time into studying that week's passage for himself or herself and waiting on the Lord. So this curriculum is designed to be a support to the teacher as he teaches a passage to children. It's not been designed to instruct the teacher in what to say concerning a passage. So with this curriculum, teachers have the freedom to use any teaching style that they find most effective. Some people enjoy using the inductive method when studying and teaching. That's one method you can use with this curriculum as well as other methods. Some teachers find that it's very effective to ask the children many questions throughout the study time. That's one way you can teach using this curriculum. There are some benefits for the teacher in using this curriculum that we've observed through the years, that this curriculum helps teachers to grow much because they are having to study themselves, causing them to grow and mature. And we've seen several men who came into the children's ministry wanting to simply teach the word to the children who later became pastors and leaders. And these were men with professional vocations who experienced much of their growth as they studied the word throughout the week to teach the children. That was a large part of their training. And this just illustrates the growth that a teacher often experiences through this process. So the worksheet page, it's a tool to help the teacher do what he's there to do, to study the word and teach the word. While there's much freedom for a teacher's style and method of teaching, and the curriculum doesn't give you one set way, I'm going to share a little bit of what would line up with the vision for how the curriculum would be used inside the classroom, which you might find helpful. You have freedom, like I said, with this curriculum, but sometimes people go, well, give me something to work with. So this would be something that would go with the vision for the curriculum. The basic way to teach using this curriculum is to take a passage of scripture and read it to the children. Share with them what the verses say, and having found a truth in that passage during your preparation time during the week, share that truth with your class. I'm going to be sharing with you things that go beyond this, but this is the foundation. This is the basic approach of teaching a Bible study to children that would line up with the vision behind the development of this curriculum. So you read through the passage to the children. You share what the verses say. Just explain the words, explain what's going on in what you're reading, what's already being said. You share truth from the passage. It's like that verse in Nehemiah where they read the law and they gave the sense. That's what we want to do. We want to give the sense. We want to help them understand what's God already said? And so then that would be the basic foundation. We want to teach the kids how to simply read the Bible and just look at what it says, which they know what it says. If they understand that, they'll know what it means, because it means what it says. And then this will help them get used to reading the Bible for themselves. As teachers, we want the kids to read the Bible and to think about what it says. Our job as the teacher is to help them do this. Building on top of this basic foundation, when teaching children, it's helpful to make it your goal to teach the children a simple truth with a simple application. And then teach them to respond to the Lord by your words teaching them how to, and also by your example demonstrating it. It's so important that the word of God would not just be in the children's heads, which can make people merely religious, but that the children would learn how to have a relationship with God based on him and his word. One way of teaching the children to do this is to teach them about responding to God through prayer, through what God has said to them in his word. If you're interested in that concept and that idea, there's teachings on that on the website calvarycurriculum.com. Under trainings and teachings, there's something pertaining to meeting with God or responding to God, taught by Pastor Larry Enterline. And then for further information on responding to God through his word, you can read the book Food for Faith by Dr. Richard A. Bennett and or listen to the teachings by Dr. Richard A. Bennett. And both of those can also be found on calvarycurriculum.com under trainings and teachings and meeting with God through his word. So you can also access Dr. Bennett's resources at, I'll give you this web address, I don't think I put it in your notes. It's CCIM, stands for Cross Currents International Ministries, -media.com. So CCIM-media.com. He and his wife are a precious couple from England. We live in the States. We love them. Yes, CCIM-media.com. So because we don't want the children to have the head knowledge only, the teacher could teach key concepts that are important for the personal relationship aspect. Concepts such as what it means to abide in Christ, ways to have a quiet time, what the purpose of a quiet time is. It's not unusual at all for children to not know these things or not have a good understanding of them. So the teacher can teach these things as he uses the curriculum as a support, as he or she teaches the Bible. There's a full worksheet page in the curriculum devoted to the topic of an alone time, a quiet time. But when would you teach these other concepts? As you come to them in the scripture. So you're teaching through the Bible, and it lends itself to talking about, you know, abiding in Christ or one aspect of abiding in Christ. So then you use that time to explain ways practically they can do it. So you would include it naturally as you come to that topic in the scriptures. You can also do it at the beginning of class. I know one teacher who I served with in the children's ministry would each week write a question on the whiteboard. He wouldn't always talk about it, but he was writing that question each week. And it was, I think, along the lines of, did you read the Bible and respond to God this week? You know, just a little question to raise the awareness level of the children, to give them a standard, to give them an idea of, oh, he's asking me, I guess that's something I could do. So there are ways you can do it. The teacher sharing, oh, this week the Lord, I was reading in my Bible and the Lord just spoke this to me, and then I went to work and then this happened and it was amazing how God used this. So examples from your life that are appropriate and good for the occasion and are good for the children to hear can be so encouraging to the children and so helpful in that practical sense of the day-to-day abiding with the Lord, because we're teaching them God's word and we want it to affect our lives. And as they're seeing it affect our lives, that can be an encouragement, like, oh, I could do that. Maybe I could read my Bible for a couple minutes before school. You know, so as you're bringing these things up, there are many ways to teach them. And it doesn't always have to be during the Bible study time, but that is the obvious time to do it. But there are times before or after as you're talking one-on-one with the children. There is a method of teaching that can be very helpful to a teacher to teach and helpful for the children to learn. Asking children questions throughout the Bible study time, all the way through the study. If you're interested in that idea, that concept, there's a teaching also on calvarycurriculum.com titled Using Questions When Teaching Children. You can look at that. It's under trainings and teachings under children's ministry trainings there on the website. Often when we discuss curriculums, a person can view a curriculum as requiring all teachers to teach one way. That is, like, there's a preset method for using a particular curriculum. But my dad wanted to build into this curriculum a freedom so that the teacher would be led by the Spirit, would be led by God. This training that I'm giving now is just because many people, they just don't know where to start. So they want something. They want an idea for it. So the purpose of this curriculum has been explained. I've done my best to explain the vision behind it. There's a purpose for each page. In particular, there's a purpose for the Bible study worksheet page, but there's freedom in how a teacher would go about using it toward that purpose. So I'm going to give you just some ideas of things you may want to include in your personal preparation study time. Everyone's at a different place regarding their study time. Some of you might just be beginning to teach. You might not know where to even start. Some of you might have no problem in knowing how to study. You would teach this better than I will. If you're someone who's starting out, don't let yourself feel overwhelmed at the thought of doing any of the things that I'm going to give as ideas. Look at what you feel you can do. Do that. If at some point you feel you can add one more thing in, give it a try. If you want to change something up, give it a try. It can be a process to learn good ways to study and learn how to use those ways. So don't let yourself become overwhelmed and discouraged. Learning ways to study can be a process, but don't undervalue the most basic of ways to study. And the first would be read through the passage. It sounds obvious, but it is. It's simple, but it's huge. And so read through it. Read through it 5 times. Read through it maybe 10 times. You might want to read through it 30 times or 50 times. You might want to listen to it on your phone's app as you're driving. And I've heard of apps that, like, speed it up so you can hear it, like, so much more. So read through it. You know, it's not to check it off and, like, okay, I read through it, but my mind was wandering the whole time. I didn't get anything I read. It's not that, but reading, that's powerful. And it's simple, and it seems like that's powerful. Yes, it is. So read through it. Read through the passage. Then ask yourself questions about the passage. Ask as many questions as you can think of. Like, really basic questions. Questions you feel a little silly asking. Like, you already have the answer because you read it. Questions like, who's talking? What are they saying? When are they saying it? Where did this happen? When it just said, when they entered Capernaum. But still ask yourself it. Why did he do that? How is this going to happen? It is, I was doing this for Bible study yesterday, and I was asking super, super basic questions, and I was like, yeah, what does that have to do? I was asking myself, I wouldn't necessarily teach it to the children. It wasn't the angle I was going to take with the children, but I was like thinking with the story of Jesus turning water into wine, I asked the question, Jesus asked a question to Mary. He said, what does this what does your concern have to do with me? And he asked a question. So I kind of re-asked in my brain, like, yeah, what did her concern have to do with him? And it just got me thinking, like, what did she know? What did she think? Like, this was his first miracle. Like, what did she expect? It was just very interesting. So ask the very basic questions, and it can get you, you might not come up with an answer. I didn't really have an answer, but that's okay. It's okay to not have answers, but it gets you thinking, and it's, you start to see what's going on, and then it starts to remind you of another passage, like, this is the beginning of signs that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, where he manifested his glory. So you start to go, what does manifested mean? What did it manifest? What is glory? And then it made me think of the time where Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration and cast the demon out of the boy. And then it said, they saw his majesty. And it's like, where do we see God's glory? Where do we see his majesty? In a village that no one has heard of. Or when he has cast a demon out of this boy, it's when he is working. Wherever Jesus is at, wherever he's working, we get to see. And so this is just coming out of questions. So as you're just asking yourself basic questions, the Holy Spirit starts to bring things to your mind. You start to see simple things. And it might not feel like, wow. It might be, okay, I asked the questions. But what truth did you come up with? Well, I came up with how much Jesus loved me. That was a successful study sign. That's important to teach the kids. So ask yourself questions. Look at the context, what's going on before and after. That can be huge. Also, you might listen to a teaching or multiple teachings on that passage from a pastor or multiple pastors. It kind of is like a check and balance for us. It just helps us to make sure that we're not going out on a limb, that we are, it keeps us on track, really. And so that can be helpful. Same reading commentary, same reason. Meditate on God's word. We're always meditating on something. It's just what we meditate on. You know, the biblical meditating. You're thinking about it. You're turning it over in your mind. You're asking questions. You're problem solving. You're trying to figure it out. All of us meditate on something all the time. So we can use some of that brain power and meditate on God's word and the passage that we're going to be studying. So just think about it. Turn it over in your mind. Pray through it. That's a huge part when we meditate on God's word, is praying through it. And that brings in that relationship aspect as well. So pray about, plan for what God wants shared with the children that week. You can write notes on your worksheet page that you want to share to jog your memory. You can write down questions you might want to ask the children in your worksheet page. But whatever ideas you hear for studying, keep it simple. Do what you can do. Don't let yourself become overwhelmed and feel discouraged and feel like you're an awful Sunday school teacher. No, you're not. You're just in a process of learning. So find what you can do. Do that. Read through it. Keep reading through the passage. Keep it simple. Do what you can do. So this curriculum does not include a schedule of events for the classroom, like when to do snack, when to do the Bible study, how long worship lasts, but there's a sample schedule down on your paper of what some people have used, what can work. It just gives you kind of an idea if that's something that you're wondering about. Class opening up 15 minutes before service starts, you can work on the word search page, talk with the kids, time of worship for about 20 minutes, a Bible study time for 20 to 40 minutes, depending on their age, depending on how long your service is, depending on if you have a play time or a snack time, 5 to 10 minutes of prayer, either maybe responding to what God just said in his word, or just prayer requests, teaching children the importance of prayer, and starting to develop, you know, if they have no exposure to prayer, exposing them to what that is like, or encouraging and reinforcing maybe what's going on already at home. This curriculum is designed to be used side by side with a Bible, so for that reason it's helpful for the church to provide Bibles. If the children forget theirs or they don't have one, the curriculum is presently in the New King James Version, with hopes to one day also have it in the King James Version for those who prefer using that version. Now this curriculum involves reading. But do not force children of any age to read. If the children cannot or do not want to read, you as the teacher should do all the reading. It's okay to encourage them and open it up, but pressuring, forcing is not. And I would spend much more time on that and give examples and explain why this is so important. But for the sake of time, I won't. But do, you know, there's an write an exclamation points on that one. So a couple logistics of this curriculum. It's not available in pre-printed form. That's to keep the cost low. We have minimal staff. It's to help so that we can work on developing more resources. So sometimes directors at churches will print it and have it ready for their teachers. Other times, teachers will print it and bring it. It's just whatever works best for the particular church. It's $39 per person per year for access to the website. And we wanted to keep the price low for the sake of making it more accessible to people, as this price is within most people's budgets in the U.S. But for the sake of making it more accessible to people, this cost is for U.S. users only, because potentially any price could make it inaccessible to users in third world countries in different parts of the world. So the subscriptions coming from the U.S. along with additional donations help cover the costs involved in the running of the site and all that goes into developing more resources to support those who use it. So to those of you who support this website, you make our work so much easier and you help make it possible for people around the world to be blessed, and we thank you for that. It's a privilege to work with you in this ministry. We have just 4 minutes left, so I am going to take this time to go through just kind of model for you one way you could use this curriculum. So if you could get your worksheet page out, because there's freedom to use this curriculum with whatever style and however you want. If you see something that I'm doing and you're like, I don't like that, that's totally okay. You don't need to do it the way I'm doing it. You can adjust and change however you like, but I'm hopeful that just by seeing it, it'll give you some ideas of one way you can use it, and maybe it will be helpful to you in that. So, I'm going to take a seat here. So if you have a Bible, I don't expect all of you to have one, but you can turn to John chapter 2. Verse 1. So what I like to do in my class is to have all the children stand up and we read the passage together. So in this case, all 12 verses. And then we'd sit back down and then we would discuss the story. So pretending we've done that, pretending we've prayed, opened up in prayer, I'm using a method of, it involves questions. Some of you are familiar with that method. Some of you might not be, so just do the best you can. If I ask a question that you're like, that's a trick question because the answer is really obvious, give me the obvious answer because that's probably what I'm looking for. So is there anyone who would like to read number one on your worksheet page? No one has to read, but would anyone like to? Thank you.
On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there.
Thank you. So, it's true or false. So, has anyone looked at verse 1 yet? Do we know if it's true or false?
It's true.
It's true. Excellent. Good. So, you can mark that as true. So, on the third day, there's actually, because some of us have already went to my last workshop class and made it through 1, 2, and 3. So we're going to start up at verse 3, or number 3, which is verse 3, because those of you who weren't here, you're not going to miss anything, but I won't totally bore those who were here. So number 3, would anyone like to read number 3 for me?
I'll read it.
Thank you.
And when they ran out of water, the mother of Jesus said to him, I have no water.
They have no water. John 2:3.
Thank you. So is that one true or false?
False.
What makes it false?
It was wine.
Oh, it was wine. So what did they run out of?
Wine.
Oh, what did the mother of Jesus say to Jesus? So she did she like go and tell him that? Interesting. Do you think this is a big deal?
For a Jewish community, yes.
Why do you think that was a big deal? Yeah, no, that's good. You'll have several talking often the same time as this method, so you just take it all in, because kids don't mind everyone talking at the same time, and you eventually get it. So, you're right. So I'm not going to belabor the point, but I'm going to keep going, even though with children I might spend more time talking about that. But, oh, look at number three. Where are we at again? Thank you. We're going on to number four, so that helps you help the kids keep track. Wait a second. It skips a verse. Do you see that? Look at number three. See the verse? That's verse three, but look at number four. Oh, okay, where do we go to get the whole truth?
The Bible.
The Bible. We do. So we're up now with our time. So you kind of got a little bit of an idea if you go to the Bible and read when you come back. So that's kind of how the worksheet page would work. It's support. It's to get you into the Bible. So God bless all of you. Thank you for your service to the Lord and to the children, and God bless you. Thank you.